Hey, before I begin with this week's official introduction, I wanted to say thank you so much to everyone who has supported the show. I see the numbers grow and grow every single week, and it is incredibly exciting. It is incredibly fulfilling. It feels great, and it goes to show the power of what we're talking about here. And I just want to say I am incredibly humbled, gracious, and grateful for all of the support that I've gotten on the show so far. I'd appreciate, for those of you who are listening and you love the show, you have gotten something from it from the people I've spoken to, if you could please share the show with a friend, share it on social media, let me know, you know, how you're feeling. Write a review on a platform where you can write a review, particularly on Apple Podcasts. But I see some folks really from all over the world that are starting to listen to the show. Shout out to the folks out in New Delhi who have started listening to the show on a regular basis. I see a number of growing audience there. Also, go follow me on social media at Rich Cebada. That's Rich, C-E-B-A-D-A, on both Twitter and Instagram, but also at Bodega Body on Twitter and Instagram. My followers there have gotten a sneak peek at what's to come. I am excited now to announce that Bodega Body is launching an apparel line, and I'm going to put out an official announcement in the coming weeks, but I'm incredibly excited to announce that our apparel line is going to be going up, and I am transforming bodegabody.com to be a shopping destination for that apparel line. The blog isn't going away. The podcast isn't going away, but we've got some pretty cool and neat designs that are going on up there. And it's a apparel with a mission, and it's apparel that's meant to truly change the world. 50% of all of our profits are going to be going towards organizations that help fight different issues that I see as barriers to health, fitness, nutrition, and wellness. Those issues include climate change, social justice, and many, many other issues that are out there that truly lie as barriers in many places, not only here in the US, but truly all over the world. And those issues are near and dear to my heart and are near and dear to me. So more to come on the official launch. All right, let's get into it. How to live a vibrant life. You know, this is quite the interesting question that I have asked myself, especially as a person who is incredibly goal-driven and as a person who is always sort of hungry for more. And I have a lot of friends that are quite ambitious and a lot of friends that always aim for something a little bit higher and always aim for their ultimate life goal. And I think the idea of goal setting is incredibly helpful because it gives us something to reach out for and it gives us something to aim for. Now, I think what often happens is that the little voices in our heads often get in the way, and the little voices of self-doubt also can become quite taxing. And as I was mentioning in the intro, I'm working on launching a business and, you know, trying to take my love for health and fitness and fashion and everything else and combine those things in order to launch a business. And the little fears that get in our head that tells us no are scary. I'm guilty of it too. And I've let those fears stop me from doing things for months and months on end. Before I decided to relaunch the website, I realized that I didn't want to start this business because I was scared. I was terrified. I was worried about failure, right? Some of us from a health and fitness perspective, we might look inwards into our journeys and we might tell ourselves, maybe I don't want to go to that gym. Maybe I don't want to start that new venture. Maybe I don't think that changing my eating lifestyle is something that I can accomplish. And tackling through those things is so pivotal. And learning how we can break down the barriers that exist from a mental perspective is also incredibly important in order for us to be able to accomplish our goals that we set out to accomplish. Today, I have Padma Ali. Padma is a life coach, a psychotherapist, but most importantly, Padma is a pretty unique individual. And I think what you're going to get from my conversation today with Padma is how to tackle the little voices of doubt that are in our head. And you're going to walk away with some really great tips on how to work towards your goals in a super tangible way. And you're going to learn to setting yourself up for success. And you get a pretty interesting conversation because I think Padma has some pretty great perspective on life, on the universe, and on the current state of things as well. I'm your host, Rich Sabata, and this is the Bodega Body Podcast.
Yo, smoking on top shelf Guido, and it's all over my hands like Cheetos. All she wanna do is dance in tight speedos, relax in a mansion like the Migos. I can't even sell the shit that I smoke. This shit cause bands like the Beatles, and we watch movies like it's Regal. Then go cash out on seafood, send her home with a quarter ounce of diesel. Girl, that boy don't even feed you.
All right. Welcome back to the show. Yeah, I'm incredibly very, very, very excited to talk to the person I am about to talk to, because there's, even though I oftentimes talk a lot about health and fitness from a physical perspective, and a lot of the things that we do focus on in our fitness journeys are from a physical perspective, I think it's also important to recognize that the mind game and the mental space is also something that, no matter where you are in your fitness journey, it is incredibly important to pay in mind. And no matter what your fitness goals, no matter what your life goals are, it's important to have that sort of stuff in mind. But without further ado, I'm incredibly excited to introduce a certified life coach, a relationship and business coach, and she is the founder and host of the Create Your Own Vibrant Life podcast. Please welcome Padma Ali. Padma, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Rich, for having me here.
I'm super stoked to have you. And since I discovered your podcast and discovered you, I've actually been listening to it quite a little bit. And I told you this in our last conversation when we had chatted a couple weeks back. I love the sort of soothing, like, vocals that you bring into the audio space, because I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel so relaxed. We're talking about, like, such tough topics. And so I think that, like, the presence that you bring, first and foremost, is incredibly, incredibly warming and welcoming.
Thank you so much for saying that.
Of course.
Yeah.
Now, I have to ask you, we'll get into your background and we'll get into the work that you do, but the number one thing I've been asking everyone since I've started the podcast, but especially given the times that we are in, is how are you doing, and how have you been doing for the past number of months? Because the world's a little bit nuts right now. So I think it's important to sort of lay that out there.
Oh, thank you for asking that question. So this is where you'll get a flavor of how I live my life and how I do everything. And I have to say, I'm actually really good.
That's amazing. That's incredible really to hear. Good.
Yeah. And so every year in the beginning of the year, I set intentions for the year. Mm. I set my, it's more like a vision. It's not even like goals. I don't set goals. I set vision. And in that, I had a vision for our family to have a lot of time together. My husband travels a lot.
Yeah.
And we have very young kids. And I set this intention, like, I just want to spend a lot of family time together. Yeah. And within 3 months, everything came true.
The universe was, you're like, you know what, Padma, you're going to get that time with your family. No, but I think that's so important, right? Like, I think that has kind of been one of the most underappreciated parts of this whole thing, right? It's unfortunate for the reasons why we have to spend much more time together, but I think that we can sort of feel that sort of sense of gratitude for the fact that we get to spend much more time with each other, and we get to spend much more time with the people that we don't always spend a lot of time with. Sometimes that's our families, because we're busy working people no matter what we do, right, in life. And we don't always get to spend that precious time. So I'm glad that your intention manifested itself in this particular way.
Yeah. And there's one more thing, and this you may have already seen that in your own life. So it's so easy to get caught up in everything that's happening in the world with social media and the news, and everything is so hyped up. And yes, we have to take precautions. Yes, we have to do everything. But the way I live my life, and this is something I encourage all my clients to do, is really like shut it off, like not get caught up in the noise of the world.
Yeah.
And that's what brings the calm and the soothing.
Yeah, definitely. I think that it's funny. I was actually just talking about this on my Instagram yesterday, where I had just said, you know what, I needed a day to turn it off. And I actually haven't looked at the news in a couple of days. And I know that there's some pretty bad stuff happening in the news in this very moment while we're recording this. And I think it's important to know that that stuff is there, and that the news is there, and the news cycle is there. But also, as you're saying, cut it off, right? And make sure that you have a moment to appreciate yourself and your existence in the surrounding. And I do want to get to this sort of in depth in a little bit later. So I think the interesting thing about your background in particular, especially coming from our last conversation that we were having before we had recorded, is about your incredibly unique approach to coaching. And I hate to call it coaching, but it's kind of the word we use for your practice, right? And it's where you blend some practices that don't typically get blended together. And it's your psychotherapy background and the practice of spirituality and bringing those worlds together. So I'd love for you to explain a little bit of that and what inspired that for you.
Mm. Yeah, it is a very unique thing. I have to say, it was literally like just downloaded about what I was supposed to do with my training and background. Yeah. So I've been a psychotherapist. I still have a psychotherapy license, and I've been doing that for 20, oh my God, like a long time, 20, it's like over two decades.
Yeah.
And so somewhere like around 6 years ago, I've also been a certified life coach pretty much like for 15 years, but I never used that in that capacity. Mm. So something happened around 6 years ago when I had my son, and I had my children pretty late in life. And I was like, something is not fitting right anymore. Like when I see my clients, I wasn't feeling inspired anymore. Something just wasn't happening. Mm. And I noticed that all my clients were getting so stuck in their stories. They just couldn't move. And I started bringing in my spirituality, which was very separate from my work. It was not part of it. I'm not religious, but I live a very spiritual life. I have spiritual practices. And I started bringing in some of those elements back then. And then something started shifting. Hmm. And my clients were no longer stuck in their stories. And this is when this whole thing was born, where I call it the New You Blueprint, which basically stands for neuropsychology, which is something I really, we have to work from the brain perspective. Yeah. If we don't do that, it's very powerful. And it's hard to not, let me backtrack. Basically, you may have already seen this in your own life. We are so stuck with our own beliefs.
Of course.
And beliefs that we don't even know exist. Mm. Those are the hardest beliefs to break through. So you might think, right, this is how it is. But who said so?
Hmm.
Who said it is the way it is?
Yeah, I'm curious to something that you had mentioned about your spiritual beliefs in general. And I think that means a lot to a lot of different people. So how would you describe your spiritual beliefs?
So that's a very big, broad topic. For me, it's more this connection with the universal consciousness or divine or whatever you want to call it, or God, like some people call it God. It's more the bigger consciousness that allows me to be a channel for that consciousness to come through. And that's how I do this work. I let this consciousness come through for the person who's sitting right in front of me, or like even in this situation, right, where you and I are speaking, before we got on this call, I set an intention for whoever is listening to our conversation to be really, to get what they want, what they need to get from this, from listening to this.
Hmm. Yeah, I think that that is so important, like what you just said right there. I think that it's funny because I also don't describe myself as a religious person. I was raised Catholic, and to this point, I call myself an atheist, a pretty staunch atheist. So I, as I mentioned to you before, have this incredible interest in religion and what sparks religion and where religion sits in all of our minds and hearts. But I do, what I believe is that intentions and intentionality is so important, and the purposes for what you put yourself out there in the universe, the things that you can speak into existence, are powerful. Because it's all about creating sort of that self-image for yourself and creating the vision of what you want. I talk a lot about with me and in my weight loss story about how for me I had to envision a lot, like, all right, like, what does Rich at a size 32 jean look like? What do I feel like? What are the things that I want to feel? And the things that came along the way that I started feeling, the things that I started doing in terms of the gym, in terms of meditative practices, yoga practices, whatever it was fueled by that.
Yes. Yes. And there's something there to what you said, right? It goes, somebody might say, oh, wow, you have willpower to make that happen. Hmm. But I say you have will, you've used your will. Yeah. Willpower is finite, whereas will is infinite. And that is what you've tapped into, that universal consciousness of saying, okay, I'm exerting my will to create this life for myself, like to create that weight that you want, or to live this lifestyle that you want.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, it's easy to go back to where you were.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, of course. That makes me think that for people on both sides of the spectrum of religion, for the super religious person and the not super religious person, I think there's often this delicate balance, especially in the way we talk about it, but there's this delicate balance between internal will and willpower, and external forces. Whatever, if your external force is your God, if it's the universe, if it's whatever you think is out there that is an external force, there's a line there. Where do you think that people who are trying to find their own sort of self-power can find that balance?
That's a really good question, right? Like, how do you blend the two? How do you blend your internal state of mind with the bigger consciousness? Is that right? Is that what you're asking? Like, how do you balance the two?
The
way I understand this, when people get this, it's so powerful. It's so powerful. Yeah. When you can live your life in alignment with your highest self, then you're blending the two very easily. You're blending your will with asking for guidance around what needs to come through in order to make that happen.
Right.
And that's where alignment comes in. I know that word gets thrown around so much these
days. Yeah, of course.
Right? Yeah, but it's about alignment with your own highest self, not with anything else, but your own highest self. We all have our full potential, which we don't tap into.
What is it that you think that blocks people the most in the world from reaching their highest potential? Like, I get the sense that, you know, we often let all of the noise in, regardless of what's happening in the world, regardless of if we were in this moment right now or if we weren't, that we often let external forces, external things happening around us, sort of get in the way, or we think that it's getting in the way. So at least in your line of work, how do you see that manifest itself for people?
I think the biggest thing that holds people back is their own limitations. I hear this so much from my clients, and I watch this with people around me too. We put these glass ceiling on us. And these glass ceilings are just our own limitations, our own limited beliefs. Like we think like, oh, this is all I can do. I can't do this. Yeah. You know, my 6-year-old, I see that, you know, it's so ingrained. This is it's nobody's fault. This is how I think we humans are programmed. Mm. He's learning to rollerblade. And there are times he's like, I can't do this. I'm like, who said so? How do you know that? How do you know you can't do that? But it's more this personal a belief. And when those beliefs are left unchecked, right, then they become we put these boxes around us.
Yeah.
I often use this analogy. I say that to get you're already stuck in this little box. You've stuck yourself into this box, but to get out of the box, the answer lies outside the box.
Mm.
And that's the conundrum. You have to get outside the box to find the key to come and open the door.
How can someone begin to step outside of that box though, right? Because I think that oftentimes we get so distracted by that box that fear almost takes over, right? And I think it's almost this like socialized fight or flight sort of deal. It's this like perceived danger of what if this one thing goes wrong, whether it be from a physical feat or just trying to get through an emotional block. There's this risk analysis that we're constantly doing that all of us don't necessarily know how to get past.
True. I'm going to answer that in two ways. One is a practical solution and then also a more esoteric solution.
Yeah, of course.
So the practical solution is, what is that fear? When we can start asking, what is this fear? Is it real? Is it perceived? Like, and this—that's the amazing piece about fear. Fear always appears real, right? And that's if you have you heard of that acronym breakdown, which says false evidence appearing real.
Oh wow! Fear. Okay.
False evidence appearing real—that's what fear is.
Wow.
It's never true, and I think about this analogy. You're walking in the dark, and you see this thing and it looks like a snake and you're frozen. You're frozen, you can't move, which is exactly what fear does. It triggers the amygdala to go fight or flight and you're frozen. And the sun comes out and you see it's a rope.
That's interesting.
It's all mind perceived. So when you can slow down and say, is this real? And what's holding me back? What would happen? What would it take for me to even try to get out of the, does anyone, so this is a good question I always ask. If you have a mentor or someone you look up to, whether it's real or, you know, someone on social media, how would they do it? Would they get stuck the place where you're getting stuck? That's a great way to start breaking down the fear. But from an esoteric perspective, this is again so powerful. The answer lies in silence. When you can quiet the mind, the answers will come. That's how you get outside the box.
Yeah, I think this is so incredibly important, right? Because I think this is so applicable to all sorts of facets of life, right? Like whether you are worried about a career move, whether you are worried about taking on an independent project, starting that side hustle, if you're worried about asking that person out on a date, if you're worried about, you know, trying a new exercise class, right? Like all of these things, if you start to look internally, can break down into that specific thing. It's assessing whether or not that fear is grounded in something that is reality.
Yes, but even reality is subjective.
What do you mean?
So the only thing that is actually real, like we know sun rises in the east, right? I'm just giving you a random example.
Of course.
But everything else is subjective. It may be freezing cold for me, but you might be like, no, I love cold temperatures. It's or cooler. It doesn't feel that cool to me. Like, it's all subjective. Everything else is subjective.
That makes me think a lot about, and I wanted to get this a little later, but I'll get to it now, the kind of the current state of the world, right? Where we are constantly in this philosophical battle in what's the state of the world, what's right, what's wrong, my truth versus your truth. And getting past those communication blocks are so difficult, at least right now in the moment too, right? So that principle is applicable on so many different ways, and in so many different aspects of life as well. It's that understanding that you have your version of the world and your version of reality, and an outside party might have a different sort of perception of what that is. So if you think that you might not be able to lose weight, as an example, because you don't necessarily believe that you have those abilities, someone else might say, no, I have the knowledge that you need. Let me share that knowledge with you. And same goes for whatever social issue, political issue, etc. That's so insightful.
Yeah, it is so subjective. It's like it's all here, up here, between those 2 years, right?
Yeah.
It's all between the 2 years. That's it.
Definitely.
Brain is responsible for everything, how we think, how we feel, and it starts young.
Yeah. Where do you think we lose that? I think what's interesting is that I think kids are incredibly intuitive. And they are incredibly a little bit more connected, I feel like, with the universal teachings of right and wrong and fear and not fear. If you look at a kid, they're willing to jump off of any sort of whatever, and they don't have that, right? And as we begin to get socialized into adulthood, no matter what cultural background you're from, a lot of more of that fear gets set in. So where do you think that we lose touch with that in ourselves?
Oh, it starts so young. It starts like the moment, I mean, think about this, right? Like the moment you come out of the womb, you're literally like this camera. You see everything around you. You're taking everything in, and you don't know anything. Even your name is not yours.
Right? Yeah, no, it's true.
But this is a concept that I think people have such a hard time seeing. This is what I was saying. Like, you have to think outside the box. Nothing you think is yours. It's all like someone opened up your brain and dumped all their beliefs onto you. I'm not just talking about our parents. I'm talking about society. And it's all based on past experiences. So it's almost like you have to create this new, does this work for me?
That's interesting.
And I see that, like, you know, I have a 3-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
At three, she's just three. And I think I'm a very conscious parent. I think so. I don't know.
You try to be.
I try to be. But I heard her say the other day, oh, I don't look pretty. I'm like, what the heck happened? Like, sorry, I don't often swear, but
No worries.
Who said that? Like, howdy, what made you say that? I was literally shocked because I have never said anything like that to her.
Yeah.
But she's picking up things from the environment. She said, my hair is not pretty. I was like, what?
And you're probably like, you have gorgeous hair.
I know, but it's, and then she's like, no. And I'm like, wow, you are three. Yeah. Like, how did that happen? And this is from me. And I think I'm a conscious parent. And I'm like, wow, if it can happen in my household, not that I have this very, evolved or something, but it is, then it can happen. It happens everywhere. And we have to be so mindful and conscious about how we are being.
I want to break that down a little bit, right? Because one of the things I have heard you talk about on your podcast is this sort of idea of self-image and trying to take control of your sort of self-image. And I think I'm going to use myself as an example here, because I oftentimes talk about my story pretty publicly. I'm one of those people who I walk around with a little bit of a chip on my shoulder, right? And I think one of my biggest motivators in life is to break people's perceptions of who I am. And all of my motivations, some of my biggest accomplishments in life, whether it be getting a college degree, getting some of the promotions I've gotten in my work, losing 130 pounds, all of that has come from people telling me, I don't think you could do that. and me saying, no, I will do that. So I think the weird balance is that my self-image is still tied to what the universe thinks about me and what people around me think about me. So is it that, like, is there a problem with me just trying to prove the world wrong? Like, should we center ourselves around whatever it is that the world thinks about us, whether it be from an anti-world perspective or it be falling in line with that?
See, the way I am, what I'm hearing from you is that's giving you motivation, that's giving you purpose.
Yeah.
Your life experiences and how people have perceived you has almost given you fuel to show. You're showing it this as an example for other people around you, especially people who might be struggling the way you did. And I think it's beautiful on one hand, right? I think it's really, it's giving you life purpose. But to also ask yourself, like, how is that serving me to be in this fight mode all the time? Like, is that working for me? And how is it serving me?
I'll say that it's frustrating. not to make this therapy for Rich, but, like, I'll say that it's frustrating. And that, you know, I think that, like, one of the things that I personally struggle with is finding that balance, right? Like, what are the things that I truly want, and the things that I truly want out of life and out of the universe and what I think I'm on this planet to do versus the combating that force that I think, not that there's this, like, lurking evil force against me, but, like, you know, combating that image of myself that I am so passionate about. And I think to a certain degree, we all deal with that. It might not be to the extreme of me, right? Like, some people, they deal with body image issues. Some people, they deal with, you know, maybe the perception of a potential partner. They might deal with the perception of a potential employer. And I think we all come face to face with these things in life that it's hard sometimes to decipher, like, what's a true motivation and what's combating that external force.
It's you said it so beautifully. My question to you is, if that has been a motivational factor, what if you use that more as a story, but there wasn't an identification with that struggle? Because what I'm hearing from you again is that the struggle is then takes over, right? Like, the struggle of, like, I'm gonna have to fight for what I want. I'm gonna have to prove why I want this. Like, and then the attention is on that. And I think it was it Einstein who said there was somebody who quoted saying, "Whatever we focus our attention on expands." So if your attention is on struggle, that's what's going to expand. But if your attention is on what you want, your vision. So if the journey, like you said about weight loss, like, that's been for the people who work with you, like, on weight loss, if the attention is on, I have to lose weight because I have to prove something, versus I want to lose weight because I want to feel good. Very different attention.
Yeah, definitely. It's funny because I oftentimes talk about finding your why, right? Like, and making sure that you figure out what your why particularly is, like, why it is that I'm doing this, and make sure that your why is aligned with something that you feel comfortable with. So I think I think it's sort of in line with a lot of what you're saying. In your work, and particularly with your podcast, you talk about people and how can they create their own vibrant life. For you, what do you think are sort of the main pillars of creating a vibrant life?
I would say personally for me, and this may tick some people off, I literally don't get involved in the world stuff. I put my effort into where I need to put the effort, like, whatever social causes, like, the things that call out to me. But I literally am cocooned. I don't look at social media. I just am very disciplined because I don't want that to influence how I am. It affects me. I'm also an empath, so I pick up energy very quickly.
Yeah, my girlfriend's the same way.
Oh, so you know what I'm talking about, yeah, right? Yeah, it's like I can't help it. And so I have to be, I'm very particular about who I spend my time with, what I spend my time doing.
Yeah.
So I'm always like staying in that state of higher, my goal is to stay in the higher state of vibration so that I'm not getting too caught up in it. Because from that place, I can help a lot more people than if I'm caught up in it and frustrated and angry and be down the dumps.
I think there's a lot of kind of world pressure right now, and in general in the modern technology era, to stay connected with the world. And we live in such a globalized society that we're always on TikTok, always on Instagram, always on Facebook, and we're always seeing what everyone's eating for lunch, what everyone's having for dinner, what my racist uncle thinks about the state of politics, you know, what that Instagram swimsuit model looks like. And there's all this pressure to keep up with all of those things. How does one block all of that, right? And still feel like you're not missing out, quote unquote, from the rest of society?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to go a little tangential.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have worked so much, so hard on losing the weight. Didn't you not?
Right? I'd like to think so.
So how did you do that?
I wanted to find a way to block out my actual mental noise, because I was actually very deeply depressed. And I was looking for a way to feel happy. And for me, I kind of lost weight as a side effect of wanting to feel good. And my focus was that feeling good. And I think everything started falling in line, obviously learning little things about health and wellness along the way, because I can't discount that. But the main goal was that.
Yeah. And you nailed it. You said you blocked out the mental noise because you were focused on something that was so important to you.
Yeah.
Right. And then that became your focus. That became everything else kind of, again, you know, like what was more important, like that I want to feel good was more important than taking an input from everybody else of what they thought of you and what was going on and everything. You just blocked it. You focused on this. My sense, this is what I'm picking up, is like you were committed.
Yeah.
You created a habit around that.
Of course. Yeah. Right? I oftentimes talk about creating habits and how particularly important it is for people.
Right. Right. And those same things you can apply to this as well. Mental, working with our mind is no different than working with exactly what you did. They're all so connected.
Yeah.
So I would say you completely nailed it.
Hmm. Are there any sort of exercises that you ever recommend to people when they're trying to do that for themselves? Because I think one of the hardest things for people is to, in whatever way, create sort of self rituals to do this. Like for me, I was like, I need an excuse to, you know, work out frustration from the day. And the gym at 6 a.m. with my headphones on was the thing for me. But how can people start to explore to find those things for themselves?
That is it. Like creating the habit. You were right on spot. Like creating the habit. Without that, the brain is very habit driven, and our mind, including overwhelm and anxiety and whatever that is, like all those feelings are also habit. They're partly habit. They're mostly brain based.
Yeah.
And there is, I'm going to call it this, an addiction to suffering. And we get addicted to that. And then we stay focused on those.
I have to ask, like, why do you think we're addicted to suffering? Like, what's there that keeps us in that?
It is programming of the mind. This is the work that I do. Like, it's all programming of the mind. Like, it's how our brain is so programmed to do things the way we have always done.
Yeah.
Always. Huh. It's the same reason why you don't have to think about brushing your teeth in the morning. Like, you don't have to think about, like, what is this? It's just a brush. I don't know what this is. Yeah. The brain, this, it's all survival.
Huh.
The brain is so focused on survival. So if you've all your life, like, I remember when throughout my life, I've struggled with anxiety. Only in my, I would say in the last 15, 20 years, I've worked very hard to like not go down the path. Even now it'll surface up, but it's so habitual.
Mm.
And anything happens, a trigger happens in the environment, our mind goes back to those old ways of being. Mm. And this is where when you have to create new neural pathways in your brain, which is new habits, in order to create the life that you want.
That, I think that explains a lot why it's like so easy to like fall into old habits, right? As an example, I use the diet thing all the time, right? We go on a diet for 30 days and it's hard for those 30 days and our brain hates it this whole time. And we look at that diet and we're like, no, it's not for me. It didn't work. And we didn't create any new habits because in our mind, that was going to be a temporary state. And in our mind, we knew that at the end of this 30 days, things are going to go back to normal and I'm going to be magically cured somehow of, you know, my bad eating habits. But that's not the case. Because we're not actually creating those new pathways like you're mentioning.
Yes. Yes. And it's harder. So, you know, I think, you know, the way you were doing it, you used something else was motivated. I want to feel good, right? And so you worked on that. For a lot of people, it's hard to stay in that path because other things happen. It's easier to fall off the wagon. And then what we do is we add more stories to that. Oh, I fell off the wagon. I, poor me, like I can never stick to anything. We create more stories around that. So one of the other pieces I bring in to my work is clearing it on an energetic level. Because there's every time we have a belief or a story that happens in our life, it creates almost like this energetic imprint.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is like, you know, if you are standing, if you have sweaty palms and you put your hand on a mirror or on a window, it'll leave this imprint. It's almost like that. And if you don't clear that, it almost like goes back to those old ways of being. And with exercise, like what you were talking about, like, you know, like 6 a.m. I'm working out.
Yeah.
When you exercise, it almost, that if you notice, like you might have seen that, it clears your mind, right?
Absolutely.
Like when you're it has the effect, it has the possibility of clearing those energetic imprints if you can stay long enough with it.
Mm.
So that's a great tool.
Yeah, absolutely.
The physical working out.
You know, it makes me think about this idea that, and it kind of goes back to the fear thing a little bit. It kind of goes back to the creating habits thing. I think one of the things that's hardest for people is like finding the time. I know for those listening, I'm using air quotes, finding the quote unquote time, but really energy to devote to this new thing. And I often think that we get so distracted by our normal, I'm a busy mom, busy dad, busy employee. I'm trying to be a good boyfriend, trying to be a good brother, trying to be a good everything, and balancing all of these external forces with the actual internal work that has to happen. How can people start tackling some of that? Because I think that a part of devoting time to something is also devoting energy. So when you're trying to devote your energy to yourself, but you also have to devote your energy to everything else happening, I think it's pretty hard for some people to figure out how to do that for themselves.
It is true. And in those cases, I always ask, what's more important? What would happen if you keep throwing yourself under the bus?
Yeah.
You keep putting other people in front of you. You do that for 6 months, a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, where will you be if you continue to throw yourself under the bus and taking care of everyone else other than you?
Hmm. That's, Yeah.
It makes you pause, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. No, it definitely does, because it has me thinking just so much, because, and I'll use myself as an example here, because, you know, I often think about, I was able to accomplish so many different things at different points in my life, and other people too. They accomplish many great things. And I think that when something is new, I almost think that there's a different energetic thing that we put in our head, because I'm like, all right, well, I was able to figure out how to lose 130 pounds, but I'm now trying to learn what it means to create your own business. And I'm like, I don't know what this business stuff is. This is scary. And I often find myself frustrated because I feel like I get so overwhelmed. And again, I'm not the only one who deals with this, and it's not, nope. It doesn't have to be the business example, but whatever example that is in your life,
right.
We all have that thing to work through.
Yeah.
That's why it's making me take a pause.
Yeah. And it is so true, because when it's something new, again, like that's the box, right? Hmm. In your mind, the exercise is different than, I'm not just using that as an example, business. For me, it's like tackling my emails. Like, oh my God, like this morning, I spent 4 hours, not just emails, technology. I get frozen because in my mind, I have put this limitation, like I can't figure it out. Oh, it's beyond me. Oh, it's too much. I put these limitations, and I have to catch myself too. Like, where will I be? It's a choice. Overwhelm is a choice. Feeling frustrated is a choice. And I have to remind myself too, it's a choice. I don't need to be in this state. I can either ask for help and figure it out, or I can say, I'll somehow figure this out. I've always figured things out. I'm going to figure this out. Very different state of mind, right? When you, when you ask a different question or have a different perspective.
No, that's, I think that makes sense, right? Like, I think that the way you shape your mind is so incredibly important, and the way that you try to be conscious as much as possible around those things are important. And I think the consciousness is a thing that we all kind of have to start practicing a little bit more and more with all of those things, because I think, like, it's particularly easy to just get frustrated in the moment and not think about it and just kind of get frustrated about it.
Right.
But actually being conscious enough to stop and think about why you're frustrated and how you can work through that frustration is an even bigger challenge, because oftentimes it means I'm going to have to do more work in order to, you know, not feel frustrated in this sense anymore.
Yeah. And that's often what holds people back.
Yeah.
Because it's again, the perceived thing of I have to put in more work. And I always ask, like, you know, like, and if you have a mentor or if you have someone you look up to, what would they do?
Yeah.
And the reason I always ask that question is because then you're like, oh, other people don't think that way. Hmm. There, at least there's one other person who might not think that way, right? Or if you, like, you know, like Oprah, would Oprah get stuck with her business? Like, you know, would she? Like, no, she'll, I mean, she might be in a different league, but whatever.
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, it's got me thinking a lot about kind of us as a whole, and I'm saying us as humans as a whole.
Yeah.
And a lot of, through the work that you do, you're blending everything that we've learned about psychology and the human brain, all of the chemical reactions that happen within the brain itself, and then that sort of connection that we have with the universe. And it's got me thinking about where in humanity we lost the connection between the two. Because I feel like you can look at history and you can say, well, you know, thousands of years ago, we would say, well, that was the sun god who provided the sun to us. And it was the moon god that provided the moon to us. And everyone kind of just like allowed the guidance of the external gods and the external universe to guide them. And then now we are, you know, for the most part, so focused on what we can see, what we can hear, what someone else around us sees and hears. And there's this almost battle that's happening between both. And I don't feel like they're married. where do you think that came from? Like, where did we lose that connection? Because one of the things that we talked about in our last conversation was about our cultures, right? And we look at both of our cultures, and both of our cultures historically incredibly spiritual. Yeah. And I don't think that exists anymore.
No. Yeah. Yeah. In many ways, I feel like humanity, people are definitely awakening right now. There's a big shift in consciousness happening currently on the planet. At the same time, there's this big divide. There is that sense of losing who we truly are.
I'll say, Padma, that like things are tough right now. Like one of the things I've asked the people who follow me on Instagram is like, what are the things that you're struggling with right now? And a lot of it is sort of this sense of being alone. It's this sort of sense of we're the most connected we have ever been. Like our ancestors can only dream about being able to speak to someone thousands and thousands of miles away with the couple, you know, taps of a finger on a magic tablet. But we're seemingly more alone because our ideologies have like separated us, and they not only separated us from each other, they've separated us from ourselves in many ways and our own perceptions of ourselves. And part of my struggle, and I think the struggle of other people, is how do we come back to that? And you might not have the answer to this, but how do you think that we can start to come back to that connection with each other?
You said something that's so beautiful, and that is where to start. You said we have lost our connection with ourselves. Because if I don't know who I am, I'm not connected with myself, there's nobody in here to connect with someone else. And if I'm not existent, how can I connect with you? That's why, you know, if someone's struggling with romance in their life or love in their life, I'm like, where is your love for yourself? It starts here. It always starts inside, beyond, before we can even connect with someone else in that way. And I would say the journey to everything starts with you first.
I'll say that like there are plenty of us out there that don't think that there is anything to address for us internally. That there are people that are like, I'm just great and I'm just me in the world. And it's like, it's really hard to combat that. and combating it might be the wrong word, but work with that, I'll say. Where, you know, sometimes, especially what happens a lot on the internet, is that we just try to have conversations about basic things, right? Whether you are on a forum about fitness or you are having a conversation with your uncle about politics, that we somehow have lost the ability to communicate with each other. And I know that part of the work that you do is also sort of within relationships, relationship management. And I think that like that communication piece is just so important because it's so hard to begin to talk to each other, but we might not know how to talk to each other.
Yeah, it all starts here. It all starts with you. Yeah. It all starts within. You know, and when we can feel complete and within ourselves feel more whole, it then reflects on the outside.
I'll say that I think the hard part is trying to get other people to understand that.
What causes you to want to make them understand you?
Well, I'll say this, as a person who is probably way more interested in the external forces of the world than the average person, you know, I think I have this desire for the person who never understood me and where I come from to get that I'm just a person too. And a person with my own struggles and a person with my own beliefs and perspective and worldview. It kind of, for me personally, I'll say, it goes back to that proving other people wrong, right? Like, I'm the kid of a former undocumented citizen. Like, I am a kid who grew up poor in New York City. And for me, all I've ever wanted in life is for someone in middle America to understand that I'm not here to hurt anybody. I'm just here to work hard like you, and I just want a secure, safe life just like you. And I think that people oftentimes let the noise of the world block that. And I think that people sometimes don't keep in mind that people are just people. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's hard to communicate that when the other person isn't willing to listen. And I think that that is often hard. Is that not knowing if that other person is willing to listen. And there's only so much we can control, right? But right. I think that that's the biggest sort of struggle in all of this.
Yeah. Yeah. And that makes so much sense, especially, you know, that's been the life you've lived. Yeah. And it totally makes sense of wanting to be seen and heard. You know, I remember this in Oprah sometime. I don't know why she's coming to my mind all the time right now in our conversation. She said, like, I think in all so many people that she's interviewed, there's two questions that everybody asks. Do you hear me? Do you see me? Do you see what I'm saying? Can you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think that's such a basic human need to want to be seen and heard.
Yeah, definitely.
At the same time, I'm gonna ask you this, yeah. You know, like, it is, What I'm hearing you say is you want to be seen and heard by people who may not ever see and hear you.
Yeah, and it's, you're not wrong.
No, and where would you be, like, having, you know, and I totally, totally hear you, by the way. Like, you know, I'm a woman of color, right? Yeah. And I grew up in different circumstances, but, like, similar, like, I really hear you. But when I hear you speak that way, it to me, it's like, wow, that's a battle you may never win, and your life might be all about that.
I know.
Having someone to see that. What if you felt so confident, like, you know, just, you know who you are. It doesn't matter whether someone sees you or not. You are here to do your thing, and you are going to show up to do that. And the people who see you, who follow you, will follow you. I'm telling you right now, like, you have something. I said that, you know, even our offline conversation, like, there's something there's so much light around you. Like, there's so much, there's such a magnetic force around you that people who want to follow you will follow you. And their haters will always be haters.
Of course.
Right. But, and it's about, owning your gift. I mean, I'm not trying to make this about, this is for everyone listening too, right? Like, owning your gift and showing up with those gifts and being you and letting people come to you. I could think about, like, even people like Martin Luther King, right?
Yeah.
He just did what he did. People who followed him.
Yeah.
People who hated him. And he wasn't trying to make the haters like him.
Hmm.
Was he? I don't think so, at least. No,
probably not.
But that's what made him an amazing leader, too, because he just was, I am this. This is what I bring in. And he used his magnetism to just be, to just let people come to him.
Yeah. And I think that applies to whatever it is in life, right? Like, you can use your own sort of magnetism to draw in whatever it is that you need to do, to accomplish whatever it is that you want, that you truly want out of the universe, right? Whether it be to, you know, teach a kid how to read, whether it be to, you know, change civil rights for an entire country.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it's so profound and so great. It's so funny because I'm sitting here, I'm like, oh, I feel so motivated now. Oh my gosh.
I hear you that, you know, especially about being liked and loved, right? Like, that is such a basic human need. I struggled with that as long as I could remember.
Yeah.
But it was a battle I could never win.
Hmm.
I could never make someone love me. right? I had to just be okay with just being myself. And that was the biggest transformational piece for me, which was like, you like me or you don't like me, and I don't really care.
Yeah, no, it's so key and it's so pivotal, especially, again, to go back to the health thing, right? Like, you have to make sure it's the thing that you want.
Yeah.
And whether it be working through a mental block, and that's your health story, or your health story is, I just want to live a fruitful, long, healthy life. Right. You have to make sure that you're doing that for you and that you're attracting that for you.
That's beautifully said.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll say that again, our egos, and I'm saying for me in particular, our egos get in the way of that all of the time. Because again, like, I'll use myself as an example. I do a podcast, right? And I have a website, and I'm like, no, well, I want people to read the website. I want people to listen to the podcast. And sometimes I find myself like way too focused on numbers. And throughout all of that, I forget my why for doing it. And I forget mm-hmm. that I'm doing this to try to help someone out there. And I do this to, you know, hope that my message can affect someone. No matter where they are. And if, again, and I tell this to myself all the time, if it's one person, if it's five, if it's a million, I want it to just hit one person. But The ego gets in the way.
Oh, the darn ego. I hear you. Yes. Yes. And what you said is so beautiful, right? Like it started with a mission of impacting people.
Yeah.
And it's about trusting and knowing that you know that it will happen.
Yeah. I will ask, how can we check our egos? And how can we make sure to continuously keep an eye out for the pesky ego?
You ask very, very big, amazing questions. And I don't know if I have answers to a lot of them. I don't. To me, the way I do it, and this is what I teach my clients, if a thought doesn't make you feel good, get rid of it and replace it with a different thought, because that's your ego. That's your ego saying, I can't do this. It's not possible. I suck at this. Why would anybody come to me?
Yeah.
I'm never going to make money. Like any of those thoughts, like that. Yeah. And that's, those thoughts never make us feel good. That's the ego talking, saying you can't do it. Who says so?
Yeah. No, it's
change your thoughts.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. You had a great answer for that. that's so important and so incredible. Well, look, Padma, this has been absolutely amazing. I feel like we've covered so much wide varying ground. And I feel like there's so much to uncover. But we only have had such a limited time. So I want to say for people who want to hear more from you, people who want to work with you, people who want to, you know, cross their path in the universe with yours, how can they get in touch with you?
Instagram is great at Padma Ali, or you'll find me on LinkedIn. I do have Facebook, but it's too noisy for me. I'm still there, but it's Instagram, LinkedIn, or my website or podcast, Create Your Vibrant Life podcast is where I show up pretty every week.
Awesome. And your podcast is available, I'm guessing, on all major podcast platforms.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Padma, thank you so, so, so much. If anything, this was very therapeutic for me. but I hope that you know, people were able to take something, because I think that you have very profound thinking, and that a lot of the work that I've heard from you is so, so deep, and it can help people throughout their day, but even much more throughout their entire life. So first of all, thank you so much for the work that you do, because I think it's so incredibly important. But thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Rich. And you are doing amazing work. Your story is so inspiring. And I commend you for all the work you've been doing on yourself and the work you're doing in the world as well. Thank you for having me.
Yes, of course. Well, you can check out the Create Your Vibrant Life podcast. And thank you so much, Padma. Hope you have a good one.
Thank you.
Let's get it.
Hey, yo, Icon, what you got?
I'm back in rare form, nigga. I said I'm back in rare form, nigga. Yo, listen, I said I came from the bottom. You an elevator, baby. The struggle made us humble and genuinely crazy. Yo, silver spoon, never. I was raised in the living room. All day smoking haze, praying that I get it soon. I took a nigga pack when I was broke. Almost 20 with no money, up in college lacking hope. Had the whole dorm clicking. You know niggas gotta smoke. Wiping out the competition. Ain't no David had the dope. Couldn't walk in my butters. They only fit G's. Nigga, my wrist freeze. Niggas play Superman and get Chris Reeved. All from a text message. I have your girl on you. You be stretched out before you send your next message. I don't like niggas. Beat around the bush for what? I'm really nice, nigga. Ask around and look them up. I'm in a deli with a bottle trying to see what's goody. Yeti side, streets cold. You gon' need your
okay, money. None of y'all niggas gon' ride. Niggas say nice, say lied. Must be fried. Know where I'm going, nigga. I don't need a god. Married to this money, baby. I don't need a bride. I said all my niggas gon' ride. Niggas say nice, say lied. Must be fried. Know where I'm going, nigga. I don't need a god. Married to this money, baby. I don't need a bride.
I feel like a precious pebble lodged under the sea. Since I was 8, I knew a 9-to-5 wasn't for me. Shit ain't always how you want it to be. That's why I gotta work hard. My ancestors had to run to be free. At 15, I was running the streets, drinking liquor, puffing the greets, cutting from school, fucking with freaks. By 21, I was sunk in the seat. G-Ride, bumping some beats, probably looking for something to eat. During my childhood, nothing was sweet. I wore ponies to school. The mother niggas had ups on their feet. It never fazed me though. I knew I was more intelligent, and the gift I had made it even more relevant. When I rap, I touch many like a known therapist, cause I'm packed with more passion than a gold medalist. I say something, they gon' jack it, nigga, no letterman. I can pop at any time, shit, there's no telling it.
Okay, none of y'all niggas gon' ride. Niggas say nice, say lied. Must be fried. Know where I'm going, nigga, I don't need a god. Married to this money, baby, I don't need a bride. I said all my niggas gon' ride. Niggas say nice, say lied. Must be fried. Know where I'm going, nigga, I don't need a god. Married to this money, baby, I don't need a bride.